He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is our Lunch with Gleeso catch-up podcast, with conversations you may have missed earlier and the parts we just didn't have time to play today.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I've watched these guys from afar. I've seen them grow up in the public spotlight since, I guess, 2009. They started off, but they really came to prominence when they released Bombs Away. And I'm talking to George and Amy from Shepherd. How are you going, guys?
Hello.
Hey.
We're good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, look, I'm a fan of all types of music, as long as it's good and not trite and twee. You guys make some of the most perfectly crafted pop melodies and well-constructed songs I've ever heard. And is this something that you, George and Amy, being siblings, have you always written songs together, or is this something that's grown over the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, well, in the last 10 years, I can't believe I'm saying that's 10 years ago it started. But it actually started with an assignment I had at TAFE. I was studying music and I had to write and produce an EP. And I got George to sing harmonies on my track, and he had a bunch of other ideas, and we just worked really well together. So since 2009, we've been writing together, yeah.
But I think we've always had a soft spot for those, like, you know, classic pop artists like Elton John and Cat Stevens, you know, where it was really well crafted. And, you know, I feel like pop music does get a bad rap because it can tend to be so, you know, formulaic and really simple. But, you know, the right pop music, like the good pop music, is really layered, and there's so much to listen to, and the structure of it is always so intriguing to me. So, you know, those old school artists, I think we draw a lot of inspiration from.
And can I just say, as I said, I've watched you from afar. Seeing you guys do it live and absolutely nail it, I guess to me that's the difference between the pop that we're talking about, the throwaway disposable pop that is just affected beyond all belief. But you guys just nail it live. How much rehearsal goes into that?
You know, we tend to rehearse quite a bit. You know, there was a time where we would get together every week and sort of just play together as we were sort of like just forming the band. But I think we're all really used to playing with each other now, and we're really locked into what, you know, and in tune with what everyone else is doing. So it's like, you know, just before a tour, we'll spend like 2 or 3 days just, you know, brushing ourselves up and maybe learning a cover or something like that. And then literally the tour is rehearsal. So as you keep going, you know, they say that a show is worth 1,000 rehearsals. So we kind of treat the tour as like a big rehearsal, and it keeps improving as we go on.
So, I mean, you've probably done 1,000 shows over the last 10 years. So you're well in credit in the rehearsal zone.
That's right. That's true.
Now, you're not the only two siblings. There's Emma, your younger sister in the band as well.
That's correct. Yes.
Now, I come from a big family, and we, as kids, fought like cats and dogs, and I could never even think of getting in a band with my brothers and sisters until I grew up to be, you know, now we're all best mates, of course. But tell us about your early household conflicts. Were there any?
Oh, mate, I mean, there's World War III was started every day. But it was like, it was a similar thing to what you would have experienced. You know, I think all siblings go through it. There's rivalries, you know, who gets the front seat, and, you know, who gets to wear the shiny earrings, and Amy and Emma always fight about. It's one of those things where, like, you know, we're just normal humans, we're normal siblings who happen to be in a band together.
Yeah.
And I think now that we're adults and we've grown up, you know, we are, like you said, best mates. You know, we're really looking out for each other. And, you know, this industry, it can be really rough, and it's like, you know, it's full of sharks and snakes and all sorts of other poisonous animals. it's a kind
sell
of
it,
place.
Sell it.
Yeah. Do study law, do not become a musician. I feel like it's the kind of industry where you want people that you trust, you know, around you. You need people that you can really, you know, put your lives in the hands of. So family is just the way to go.
With the success that you had in Australia quite early on with Bombs Away, did you realise how quickly it was going to parlay into overseas commitments and success over there, or did that come as a bit of a shock?
Yeah, we never expected Geronimo to do what it did. obviously, we had Let Me Down Easy first, and we were just trying to sort of match or just beat the success of that. And for it to go to number one in Australia after 3 weeks was a huge surprise. And then it started to take off overseas, and we had all sorts of managers and agents and people from everywhere calling us. And it was just an insane time in our lives. And it's a bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah, I think it would have been funny for those labels, because all the record labels were like, we were spending millions of dollars on these artists. Who's this band, Shepherd, that's come out of nowhere?
Independent. It's kind of an independent record.
Number one.
Because you did some big shows over in the States as well, didn't you? Big television shows.
We did, yeah. We did Ellen a couple of years ago. We also did Jimmy Fallon, that was my favorite. That was so cool. We got to play with some of the members of The Roots, which is the in-house band.
Oh, they've
got
like
an awesome cult following. But, you know, a couple of the percussionists, they were just like, we love this song. Do you mind if we, like, you know, join the band just for one show? And we're like, mate, I would be honored. Come in. I think his name was Knuckles.
And Chuggy was going, no, you'll have to sign a contract, mate. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. That was actually a great impression.
This is a statement without notice for Amy. I have you to thank for my daughter having, well, all different shades of green hair over the last 3 or 4 years. So thank you very much for that.
How many little girls, Amy, have you?
Luckily, I've got a hairdresser on speed dial, because when you get to my age, you need a bit of magic and a little bit of trickery going on there. What have you guys got coming up in the next little while?
Well, this Coming Home's taking off in Europe, which is really exciting for us. It's taking off in Holland and Sweden, so it looks like we're going to be heading over there in December.
Part of the year.
Yeah, get the jackets out and the coats.
Yeah.
For October, we're actually going to be playing the Gold Coast Supercars event, which is going to be unbelievable. That's going to be, we're doing like the after show. I think we're playing with Foreigner, and that's going to be a wild night. That's on the 20th. Look, and then a few days after, that's my birthday.
Lovely to hear that. How old are you? 22 or something?
Oh, 17.
Oh, yeah. I just turned to myself. Just touching on the Foreign thing. Who are some of the big names that it's blown you out to play with over the last few years?
Robbie Williams is probably the biggest one for me. Keith Urban,
awesome.
Keith Urban, yeah. Keith Urban was one of the favorites because he was just so kind to us, and we were just new to the whole industry. And he, you know, he sits all of his crew members down and everybody who's on the tour and tells them, you know, you treat everyone with respect. And if you're caught treating anyone rudely, you're off the tour. So everyone on that tour is super nice. And we got to meet some really cool people. And Keith would just have dinner with us, and he invited us on stage.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, most tours aren't like that, so we really appreciated that tour.
Mm.
That's excellent.
Unreal.
I did hear, too, you guys got offered a writing session with Robbie Williams. Did that ever eventuate?
We went all the way over to Los Angeles. We'd booked a whole trip around it. He came up to us after the show in Adelaide, I think it was, and he was just like, guys, I just want to say your songs are so well put together. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. That's amazing. Oh, my God, I'm a huge fan. You know, I kind of embarrassed myself, but then he was like, you know, if you guys are keen to tee up a writing session or something, you know, I'd love to see what we can come up with. And that's where my heart completely stopped. And I couldn't believe that he'd said that to us. And I was like, oh, mate, I would be completely honored. And so we were talking to their managers, and our managers were talking to them. And we managed to tee up 3 days in Los Angeles. And so we booked a whole trip around it. And we went over and did some other writing, you know, with some other people. Flew to New York, did some promo there, came back. The day before we were meant to write with him, he had to jump off to the UK for I think he'd just gotten the FIFA opening ceremony gig.
Oh,
so
he had
to like emergency flight out of there, and we were like, "What, Robbie?"
Oh, the fluid nature of rock and roll.
Yeah, we were super disappointed, but he was really apologetic, and he's like, you know, we're definitely going to hook it up at some stage, so we shall see.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.